The James Croft Evangelistic Association presents Walking with a Giant, a monthly broadcast ministry of 3 foot 10 inch tall evangelist James Croft. Now, here's James.
Boy, am I excited! Welcome to the June 2006 edition of Walking with a Giant. This month's program is going to have an emphasis on little people. In a few minutes, we'll be joined by evangelist Bobby Brindle, who's the world's smallest evangelist at 3 foot 9.5 inches tall. A little bit later on, we'll start a new message on one of the Bible's little people. No, not Zacchaeus, but one of the children of the Bible, Samuel. You don't want to miss that. But let's start off by going to Ghana, West Africa, and joining our Ghana ministry coordinator, Evangelist Ralph.
Time now for the Ghana update. Bringing light to the dark continent, Evangelist Raphael Aji Kingby shares the gospel of Jesus Christ in Ghana, West Africa.
Evangelist Ralph, welcome to our program again.
Yes, Papa. I'm very glad to be with you on the program today.
Ralph, I want to turn to a personal note with you concerning your wife, Mavis. We learned that just a few days ago that Mavis had to be taken to the hospital. And what have the doctors determined about her condition?
Papa, she has malaria.
Malaria.
And then she has one thing they call preterm contractions.
All right. Listeners, again, that's preterm contractions. Because yes. Mavis is due, two different scans have given two different dates, but June the 17th and July the 5th as possible dates of birth for their first child.
Yes.
Now, did they say how long she will stay in the hospital?
Papa, they don't know.
Ralph, tell our listeners about when you first took her to the hospital and they determined what her condition was and what she had, the malaria, and about the medications, about what you had to do concerning medications. I think that'll be fascinating for our listeners.
Yes, Papa, here everything will be prescribed to you for you to go and buy. You go to the pharmacy, or we call it a drugstore or the pharmacy, and then you go and buy the prescription that they've written onto you. You go and buy all the drugs before you send it to the doctor, before the doctor will use it to work on her. So just imagine, if you don't have the funds on you, it means that you cannot buy the drugs. And anything at all can happen to your wife or my wife or the patient who is there, Papa.
So basically, the doctor prescribes the drugs, you go
That's
to
right.
the drugstore, and you
That's
bring
right.
it back to the hospital, and the doctor
yeah.
then uses those drugs. They do not keep the drugs at the hospital then?
No, they don't keep it. Those that they have in the hospital, Papa, that one also you have to buy it with your money.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And most of the time, they don't have all the prescribed drugs at the hospital. They don't have all. So you have to go to town and search for the drugs that they have prescribed unto you. And just imagine, Papa, look at Ghana traffic. Look at how it is here. You'll be in traffic and you're searching for drugs. It has not been easy, Papa.
Oh, I can imagine. I know exactly how the traffic is there. Ralph, tell us, because we had even though it was a serious conversation, it was a comical moment that Ralph and I had the other night when we were talking, and you were telling me about the particular drug that they were giving Mavis, and would you tell me about that?
Yes, Papa. They wrote in the prescription that I have to go and buy a drip, okay, a drip, so that they'll put on her, and then that was what I went to buy.
Now, I must tell our listeners that to me, even when he says it sounds like he's saying a drape. Finally, I determined the way he described it, it's talking about an IV drip. And so it's an intravenous medication that they're giving her. And so that was kind of comical to both of us when we finally realized what we were both talking about.
Hey, Papa, let me tell you another thing.
Oh, yes, sir.
When you are not able to pay your bills in the hospital, your wife or the patient will be detained until you settle all your bills, Papa.
the patient is detained, in other words, kept at the hospital. That's what you're saying, that they will actually keep her?
Yes, they will keep her at the hospital, Papa, until you settle your bills.
My stars alive. That is so different than what we see in the United States. Let me mention to our listeners that if you would like to make a donation, a tax-deductible contribution to Evangelist Ralph and Mavis for their well-being, we can do that through the James Croft Evangelistic Association. If you just go to my website and then go to the link that is labeled James Croft Evangelistic Association, and there's a place for donations. And if you will label in the notes section that it is for the Kingbees, K-I-N-G-B-I-S, or either just put Ralph for Ralph and Mavis, then we will make sure that it gets to them. We try to send monthly contributions to Evangelist Ralph and Mavis, and we're at a time in their life now when the need has accelerated greatly, with Mavis being in the hospital and with a new baby on the way. And we try to make it where Ralph can minister full-time in Ghana for Jesus Christ. And so your contributions would be appreciated. Ralph, I want you to give Mavis all of our love and let her know that we're all praying for her.
Okay, I'll do that, Papa.
And we want to know as soon as that baby is born.
That will be very, very important for me too. I will announce it as the moment he drops out, Papa.
The moment he drops out. I love your terminology, Ralph. God bless you. You are something else. You're a very special and dear friend. And we want everybody to be in prayer for the Kingbee family. And in fact, let's close with a word of prayer, Ralph.
Okay.
Father in heaven, Lord, I come to you, first of all, praising you for the friendship and fellowship that I'm able to have with Evangelist Ralph and his wife, Mavis. Lord, I'm so grateful for the work that they are doing to further your kingdom in Ghana, Lord. And even through this program, they're making an impact around the world. And I just praise you for that. And I pray you bless them for that. Lord, I just pray that you bless them spiritually, physically, Lord, especially with Mavis's condition. Lord, I pray that you bless them financially and with a happiness and a joy that can only come from you. And Father, I just pray that you be with all the medical staff as they attend to the needs of Mavis and as they minister to her physically, Lord. And I just pray that this baby is delivered, Lord, without any problems, without any blemish, Lord, without any problems whatsoever, that this will be a healthy child. And Father, that Mavis herself will be in just the best of health and able to fulfill her duties and responsibilities as a mother to this newborn child. God, I pray that Ralph and her will be the best parents possible and that your blessings will be on that home because, Lord, they are trying to make Jesus the center of that home, which is what we should all do. And so, God, we praise you in advance for that which you're about to do. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen.
Let's talk.
Okay.
Let's talk.
Thank you.
What do you got to say? It's time now for Talking with the Giant. Here's James.
I'm being joined today by Brother Bobby Brindle, who is classified, I guess we could say, as the world's smallest evangelist. Brother Brindle, first of all, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, brother.
And you and I met last July, I believe it was, at the Little People of America convention in Orlando, Florida. Let me ask you the question that's probably the question I get more often than anything else. How tall are you?
3'9"
You've got me by half an inch. I'm 3'10"
Yes.
So you get to keep your title of the world's smallest evangelist then.
That's right.
Brother Brindle, tell us about your call to the ministry.
Well, prior to the ministry, I was a successful businessman in Dalton, Georgia. And when I got saved, I was 30 years old. And I was reared up in church and heard the gospel message preached. But I made a profession when I was 14, but it wasn't a true profession. But I made a true profession at age 30, and so I got active in my home church, and then at age 35, God began to speak to my heart about the ministry, and I didn't run. I really wanted to preach, and so I surrendered, and just started on my 29th year, the 9th of April.
Well, congratulations. Tell me, how has, when you were doing the tent ministries, and I know you've traveled extensively into churches, how did the Lord use your size?
Oh, it's been a tremendous help, because of my size, I'm a novelty, and kids especially.
Oh, yeah.
I've had pastors to tell me that the kids will say, when you gonna get the little preacher back? And those kids, they are amazing. They just love you to death, and it's really been an encouragement for me, having to sacrifice my family to go because of the kids. They've been such a blessing. How they love us, and a lot of since I've been out here all these years, a lot of them that was about my size when they first met me years ago, now they have kids and grandkids that are my size. So it's just it's been real effective in the ministry. I've had doors of opportunity to preach all over the country that a lot of average size preachers wouldn't have.
Yeah, unless you walk in our shoes, you can't really totally relate to it, can you?
That's right. It's different, and of course I have accepted how the Lord created me, but I see a lot of them at the little people's meetings that hadn't accepted that, and that's what one of the reasons I'm there to help them to realize that God created us all, and He creates us in His likeness, and He don't make no mistakes.
Tell me about your family, and how, what kind of a role your family has played in the ministry and the support of it and so forth.
I have a wife, and her name's Kathy, and we've been married going on 38 years, and Kathy and I have two sons, and earlier in the ministry, they traveled with me, and she taught them as we travel. But now my sons are, you know, adults, and they don't. My wife travels with me occasionally, but not like she used to. Of course, we have two grandsons now, and she works for them and does a lot of things for them. So
now, tell me, is your wife a little person, and what about your children?
My wife, she is petite. She's 4'11", and my oldest son, he is 5'8", and my youngest son is 5'10". And my grandsons are average size, and even in my family of six, they were just two of us small in my family. I had one brother that was 6'3".
Oh, my. Now, tell me, in raising children that are normal size, I cannot relate to this. I've never been married. I don't have children. How is it to rear up children that are going to be taller than Dad very quickly?
Well, they were brought up in church, and we had our Bible devotions at night, and they were with me, you know, in the ministry as children, and so they got saved at an early age, so that helped. Of course, you know, things is different now in how you discipline, but they knew that they would get a lick in them if they didn't do right, which you can't do that now, so
the old spare the rod, spoil the child, right?
Yes, sir.
The LPA convention this year begins the end of June and goes through the first week of July in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right.
And tell me exactly what your role will be at the LPA convention this year.
All right. I'll be preaching there on Sunday, and then we'll be having four nights. We'll be having Bible studies, which I have helpers for that. And then I'll be there just talking with them, making new friends and visiting with my old friends, and you know, just one-on-one talking and witnessing to them. And the one-on-one seems to be real effective, because I see so many of them. I can sense that they are having problems, and, you know, I'll try my best to, you know, go to them and just start, you know, conversation, and then a lot of times they'll share their the situation that they're in, and I've had prayer with them, and also cancer with them. And it's just a blessing, you know, to know that God is using you to minister to them, because I don't know anybody that's trying to do anything to help them spiritually.
Now, you're based out of Georgia, correct?
Yes, sir. Chatsworth, Georgia.
Oh, my goodness. Say that again.
Chatsworth.
That's a unique name.
Yes, sir. It's 10 miles from Dalton, Georgia, which Dalton is the carpet capital of the world.
Oh, yes. Now, you are available for, I mean, your ministry is not restricted to the little people at this point. You will still do revivals and special meetings like that also.
That's right.
How can people contact you if they're interested to engage you for an engagement? How do they reach you?
They can reach me at my home phone at 706-629-4134. Or my cell phone, 706-260-5582.
I might mention here, too, that the folks listening can see a picture or two of you and I, in fact, from the LPA convention on my blog site, which
right.
is walkingwiththegiantblog.org. And I want to mention here, too, that we've been talking some about the Little People of America convention. The gentleman that does the opening and closing for our program and all the transitions for each segment of this program, his name is Matt Ray. And Matt and I go way back to our radio days at WBKF FM in McClunny, Florida. And we met up again for the first time since that time at the LPA convention in Orlando. And that's how he found out about that I was doing this program, and he volunteered his services to help me with this program. And Matt has a three-year-old son that is a dwarf, and that's why they were attending the convention. So God has a way of putting us in the right place at the right time and bringing us all together for his purpose, and so that's exciting. And I'll mention here, too, that LPA has a website that is lpaonline.org. If our listeners would like to know more about the Little People of America and information about dwarfism, it is available there on that website. A lot of information for dwarfs and for the average size community, if you will, so that they could learn more about dwarfism. Brother Brendel, it has been a pleasure to talk with you today.
Same here, Brother James, and I appreciate that. What the Lord did by letting our paths cross. We enjoyed this time with you this morning.
Time now for a Giant update. Here's what's happening in the ministry of the Giant.
Here are the preaching engagements currently scheduled for the month of June. Sunday, June 4th, I'll be at Southside Baptist Church in Lake City, Florida, with a service beginning at 10:30 a.m. On Sunday, June the 11th, I'll be at Forest Grove Baptist Church near Alachua, Florida, with a service beginning at 6 p.m. On Father's Day, June the 18th, I'll be at Gadara Baptist Church near Keystone Heights, Florida. The services there will begin at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. On Sunday, June the 25th, I'll be at Shiloh Baptist Church, which is located between Fort White and High Springs, Florida. The services will begin at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. The last three Wednesdays of the month of June, I'll be at my home church, First Baptist Church of Lake Butler, Florida, with services beginning at 6:30 p.m. For updated details on these and other preaching engagements, visit my schedule page at jamescroft.org.
Words these days are cheap, but there are words that last forever. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Let's get into that eternal Word now.
Hey, let me ask you something. If you're excited to be in the house of the Lord tonight, would you say, "Boy, am I excited"?
Boy, am I excited.
Little people can do big things for God. You know, my favorite scripture in the Bible is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's always been one of my favorite things. You know what? When I was younger, I won't say littler because we know that could be any time now, right? But when I was much younger, I was raised to be like everybody else. My parents said, you know, okay, there's certain limitations that you have physically, but other than that, your mind is totally capable of doing what everybody else is doing, and we expect you to do just that. And if I was physically able to do it, they fully expected me to do that too, you see. And so, you know, boy, that Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In fact, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you too. It's not just for us little people. But then, you know what, when we begin to think about the little people, if you will, really, we could probably spiritually put all of ourselves into that category, couldn't we? We could all say that I am nothing in the sight of God. I am nothing in my abilities to do something for the Lord. But God can take what we perceive as being nothing, and when we give it to Him and give it totally to Him, then He can begin to mold us into something that He can do something with. And so through Him, we can do all things. And so tonight, I want us to look a little bit about Samuel. I want us to think about this little person in the Bible. You know what? There was a lady named Hannah, and she was barren, and she was wanting a child, and she had prayed, and she had told God that if He would just give her a child, that she would set him aside for His work, and she would basically just give him to the Lord. And so eventually that came to pass, and she done exactly what she said she was going to do. How many times have we made bargains with God that, "God, if you'll just do this, I promise I'll do this, or I'll give this to you. And Lord, you know what? If I can just make more money, if I could just get my salary on up there, that means I could give more to your work." And so we come off with all these kind of thoughts of what we're going to do, and we just bargain with God a little bit, and then when it happens, we kind of conveniently, selectively forget that we made our part of the deal and we don't follow through. But Hannah did not forget. Hannah remembered. And so she took Samuel and she left him with the priest Eli. There was a distance to be traveled there, and so this was truly a sacrifice. This wasn't something that she was giving up and then, but yet still being able to hold on to or claim it as you know, as hers. And you know what I'm saying? In other words, this was a cutting of the cord in a sense. The Bible tells us that when it would come time to go in for the annual sacrifices and all, that she would make him a small robe, and she would bring him something new, a new article of clothing each year, because obviously, as he wasn't like me, he didn't stop growing, you know. I mean, he kept growing, and so she was constantly bringing him something on a yearly basis. Now, you moms, I want y'all to think about that. You know, I am not a mom. I'm not a dad, all right? And probably will never be. But those of you who are, you know, there's something about that bond between a mother and a child, isn't there? I'm not putting down dad's role. I think sometimes we play dad's role down too much, and so we lessen the responsibility or at least the expectations of what dads are supposed to do, and we're paying for it in our society today. But there's something about that bond with a mother and child. And I want you to think about taking your child after you have weaned this child and then taking him and totally giving him to the Lord and allowing him to be raised by a priest somewhere where you are not. How difficult would that be? But you see, Hannah was willing to do that because she made a deal with God. Now, you know what's interesting? God honored her faithfulness because she went on to have more children from the woman who thought she was barren. You see, so you know what? I found you can never outgive God. You can never outgive him. You know, she thought she was making the ultimate sacrifice by giving her child over to the Lord, but she was glad to do it because God at least allowed her to experience that and to know what motherhood was and to be able to give him over to the Lord. But God said, you know what? You've been faithful to do that. I'm going to bless you with more children, and these you won't have to take and leave somewhere else. And so God honored her. Well, now we kind of get in, that's a lot of background, all right? Now we kind of get into Samuel, all right? Samuel is the little boy, and he's living there with Eli. And there's some qualities through this little story that I want us to go through that you and I need to have. I think there's some interesting points. Let's look in, starting in chapter 3. In chapter 3, it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. In other words, you know what's happening here? We have God not moving in a powerful way as he had done before. We have God not moving and speaking through the prophets and the priests as he had done before. In other words, I guess in a more of a modern time, we'd say they're in a little bit of a dry season going on here. And so there was not this widespread revelation of God. So we see a time here where there was a dry season taking place. And then in verse number 2, it says, and it came to pass at that time while Eli was lying down in his place, and when his eyes had begun to grow so dim that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out in the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was lying down, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, here I am. Just kind of setting the scene here a little bit. It's beginning to be nightfall. It's time to lay down and rest. Eli's eyes are growing dim. It's about time for the lamp to go out in the temple. Samuel lying down. And then Samuel hears a voice. And the Bible says there in verse number 4, and the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here I am. Notice what he does in verse number 5. So he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, I did not call. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. You know what I like, though? Samuel, even though it was time to lay down, Samuel was so serious about what he was there to do at that temple, that his job was to minister before the Lord at that temple. His job was to help Eli, that when he heard that voice call and call him by name, he thought, obviously, it must be Eli. And he was tuned into that. And the first thing he does, here I am, and he runs in there. And he goes, you called me. What do you need? Listening. But let's go on to see what else happens here. It says in verse number 6, then the Lord called out again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. He answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you did call me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. You know, how many times does God speak to us and we don't recognize it's him? You know, because sometimes that still small voice that speaks within us, sometimes it gets drowned out by a lot of other stuff out there, doesn't it? You know, and I'm not talking about the radio and the television. I mean a lot of other stuff in our life. But God is speaking to Samuel. And you know what I like is he calls him by name. Samuel did not yet know him, is what the Bible said, but God knew who he was. Isn't that exciting to think about? Man, it is very exciting to think that Jesus knows me by name. You know what? It doesn't matter if you're a little person or a tall person. It doesn't matter if you're a child or an adult. It doesn't matter if you live in the United States, in Ghana, in China, in India, or no matter where you may be, God knows you by name. But you know what? It takes more than God knowing your name to get to heaven. You know, you have to be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3, you must be born again. And how do we do that? Well, first we have to realize that we're lost. We have to realize that we need to be born again. If we don't think we have a need, then we'll never do it. And so once we know that we have that need, that we know that we're lost, that we know that we're a sinner, and that we know that we're on our way to a devil's hell without Jesus Christ, then we put all our belief in Jesus Christ. I mean, believe in him with all your heart, with every fiber of your being. Believe that he really is the Son of God, that he came to this earth to provide a way of salvation for you. And then confess him. Jesus said, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, I'll be ashamed to confess you before the Father which is in heaven. My stars alive, we need to confess him. We need to sing it to the stars above. We need to let everyone know that we serve a risen Savior. And then you know what else? We need to commit our heart to him, our whole life to him. Not just a part of us, not just the part that goes to church on Sunday, but every fiber of our being needs to be committed to Jesus Christ. If you'll do that, then you can be, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you can be born again. You know what? If you'd like more information about this, visit my website and click on Did You Know? And you'll get more information there. Or email me and I'll be glad to try to answer your questions. Well, that's all the time we have for Walking with the Giant for this month. I certainly hope you'll join us again next month. God bless you.
You have been Walking with the Giant, a monthly update on the ministries of the James Croft Evangelistic Association. Walking with the Giant is available as a free web download, or you can receive the program each month on CD. Visit us on the web at jamescroft.org, or for more information, call 386-752-1563. This program is made possible by the generous support of our listeners and by the unmeasured blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ.